In other words, one of my names is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation of Zappa, 12th Island, Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is October 16, 2017, Artist History 27, 2025. We start our first service today with a song entitled, There Shall Be Showers of Blessings. There shall be showers of blessings. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Father above. Showers of blessings, showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round us, they're falling. But for the showers we plead, there shall be showers of blessing, precious revenue again, over the hills and the valley, sound of abundance of rain, showers of blessing. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us upon it, but for the showers we pay, there should be showers of blessing sent up upon us, O Yah. Grant us now refreshing. Come and now honor that word. Showers of blessings. Showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round us a-falling. But for the showers we plead, there should be showers of blessing, oh, that today may not fall. Now as to Yah we are confessing, as on Yah we call. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us a-falling, but for the showers we pray. Part 8, we're in Raise Them Up, Raise Him Up. And we're going to continue on here. We're on Timely Greeting, Volume 1, Number 32, we're on page 16. We start with Isaiah 30, verse 9 and 10. It says that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Yahweh, which say unto the seers, see not, and unto the prophets, prophesy not, unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceit, by killing the prophets for their frank speaking. Yahweh's ancient people were in effect saying, prophesy unto us deceit. Tell us smooth things. We do not want to know the truth about us. Does this thing still exist among us? Let me tell you an incident that will quickly answer the question. Just the other day from a brother minister, I received a very kindly written letter in which he sincerely expresses his opinion of our literature. He very politely explained that all he has against it is that in it we speak of the sins and mistakes which the leaders of the church commit. If you have love for them, he said, you will speak only good of them. I do appreciate this brother's sincerity in this matter, but I do not appreciate his judgment on it. If he will re-examine the literature, I am sure he will find that we have said nothing but only what the Scriptures say on the subject for our time. Therefore, his burden is actuality is directed not against us, but against Yahweh himself. Our business, brother, sister, is not to find fault with either the ministry or the laity, but to truthfully bring to light what the Scriptures say, have to say, to Yahweh's people of today. We cannot do otherwise. Yahweh helping us, Ezekiel's charge is our charge. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speaketh to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, and his blood will I require at thine hand. Ezekiel 3:18. When the Jews found fault with the prophets for speaking of the sins in which the priests were indulging, they actually said, Isaiah 30:11, get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. So that's what they were saying. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Okay, it says Isaiah 30:12-13.
Read the next paragraph.
Wherefore, thus saith the Holy... Let's back up a little. Spiritual blindness is a cruel thing. Its victims can hardly be made to see either their sins or the righteousness of Yahweh. They misinterpret and misapply everything that is intended for their good. Isaiah 30:12-13. Wherefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because you despise the word, and trust in oppression and perverseness, and stay thereon, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. If the spiritual eyes of Yahweh's ancient people could possibly have been opened, if they could have seen that their sins were undermining the foundation upon which they were standing, they would not have spit upon the faces of the prophets for warning them of their plight. Indeed not. Instead, they would have welcomed the prophets. Isaiah 30:14. And he shall speak, and he shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it a sherd to take fire from the hearth, or to take water withal out of the pit. Who dares deny that their kingdom thus fell? All these things came upon them only because they refused to hear the prophets. Isaiah 30:15-18. For thus saith Yahweh Elohim, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And ye would not, but ye said no, for we will flee upon horses. Therefore shall ye flee, and we will ride upon the swift. Therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one. As the rebuke of fire shall ye flee, till ye be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain, and as an ensign on a hill. And therefore will Yahweh wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you, for the Yahweh is a Yahweh of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. Because there is nothing that could have been done to save our ancestors from shame, Yahweh let the nations be his people and scatter them to the four winds, who nevertheless left a promise that he would wait until they, as a people, have gone through their period of prodigality, until they, as individuals, discover their mistakes and give the Yahweh opportunity to display his grace unto them. Those who wait for him are certain to receive his blessing. With the 18th verse comes the dividing line between the account of the Yahweh's ancient people and the forecast of his people's future in the latter days. Up until this point is the record of the former. Now concerning the promises unto the latter, we read Isaiah 30 verse 19. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. What is the reason that Yahweh so patiently waits, and why does he promise his grace so abundantly unto his people? Because he is determined that they shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. His aim is to take them back there and to give them rest. His purpose is to end their weeping, to hear their prayers, and to grant their needs. So it is that while Yahweh's ancient people faced destruction, punishment, and desolation, we now are facing restoration, pity, and grace. Today we have the same promise that the people had in Moses' day, yes, greater. Verse 20. And though the Yahweh give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. Although Yahweh anciently permitted the people's teachers, their prophets, to be pushed into a corner, abused, and slaughtered, he will permit it no longer. The eyes of his people shall see the Yahweh's appointed teachers as they are brought unto the front. Isaiah 30, verse 21. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. There is therefore no need for any of us to go wrong. There is no excuse for making mistakes which we ought not make. Isaiah 30, verse 22. You shall defile also the covering of thy graven images of the silver, and the ornament of thy molten images of the gold. Thou shalt cast them away as a minstrel's cloth. Thou shalt say unto it, get thee hence. So Yahweh's faithful people will not hold to anything that displeases Yahweh. Not only will they cast away all their idolatrous things, but they will actually hate them. Isaiah 30, verse 23. Then shall I give you the rain of thy seed, that thou shalt sow the ground withal, and bread of the increase of the earth, and it shall be fat and plenteous, and that day shall thy cattle feed in large pastures. When we comply with all of Elohim's requirements, then it is that we will prosper. Then it is that this devourer shall be rebuked, and the curse is kept back from us. We should therefore now realize that prosperity does not depend merely upon one's ability, but that it depends even more upon Elohim's approval of one's deed. Isaiah 30:24. The oxen likewise and the young asses that ear the ground shall eat a clean provender which hath been wintered with a shovel and with the fan. If our cattle are to have clean feed, then how much more important that we ourselves have spiritual food that is wintered by the Spirit of the Truth. This they are to have. Isaiah 30, verse 25. And there shall be upon every high mountain and upon every high hill rivers and streams of waters in the day of the great slaughter, when the towers fall. Obviously, when Elohim's waters of the salvation cover the earth, even unto the tops of the mountain, so to speak, then the watchtowers, the pulpits, which the people have on their own initiative built, will fall. Doubtless the day of the slaughter is the great and dreadful day of the Yahweh. So again, we are brought face to face with the reality that truth is one of the two things. If it cannot save, it destroys. This truth unto which you are listening today will verily spread throughout the world as far spreads in stubble. Matters not who attempt to stop Yahweh's truth. I know that all such will stumble and fall and not be found, but that the truth shall cover the earth. Isaiah 30 verse 26. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days. In the day that Yahweh bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound. Were this not a figure of speech, were the sun actually to become 7 times hotter than it is, then the earth itself would go into flame. Obviously, the sun in this instance is used figuratively to illustrate that the light of Yahweh's word, now while he is binding the wound of his people, is to increase sevenfold. All the light that there is will burst upon the earth as does the sun after a cloudy day. Moreover, the moon, the church, the agency which reflects the rays of the sun into the dark places of the earth, will as a result accommodate the people, not much better than she has hitherto for, but perfectly already. We see the light of Yahweh's word rising higher and higher with each passing week. Isaiah 30:27. Behold, the name of Yahweh cometh from far, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of the indignation, and his tongue as a devouring fire. Look, commands Yahweh, the unveiling of these truths indicate but one thing, that we are approaching the great and dreadful day of Yahweh, the day in which there shall be but one Yahweh and his name one. Okay, that's where we know that there's two, the Father and the Son, so let's look at this again. Look, commands the Yeshua, the unveiling of these truths indicate but one thing, that we are approaching the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua. I interchange that in and out with, sometimes I say the day of the great and dreadful day of the Yahweh. It's the great and dreadful day of both of them. When it says the great and dreadful day of the Lord, upper and lower case Lord, it's talking about the great and dreadful day. Because in the Revelation and other places it talks about Yahshua's, the wrath of the Lamb has come. So when the Lamb is sent down here to take over this world, which he already has been, then it's the wrath of the Lamb. And so this is what it's talking about, the great and dreadful day of the Lamb. That's really the way it should say it. Isaiah 30 verse 28, and his breath as an overflowing stream shall reach into the midst of the net to sift the nations with a sieve of, and there shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people, causing them to err. The Yahshua's breath, his written word, will rise. And we know that the written word is is found in John 1:14. Said the word became flesh and dwelt among us. We know that Yahshua is the author of the New Testament, the written word. So when it says Yahshua's breath, his written word will rise, revealed truth will increase, up and up until it shall reach into the midst of the net, as it were, for the sifting of the nation. For the vain shall fall, verily the humble, those that wait for the Yahshua shall stand. Isaiah 30:29. He shall have a song within the night when a holy solemnity is kept, and gladness of the heart, as when one goeth of the pot to come into the mountain of Yeshua, and to the mighty one of Israel. There it is. Mighty one always refers to Yeshua the Son. The Almighty always refers to the Father, as best I understand. Yes, for the rejectors of the Elohim's word may lament and gnash their teeth in the outer darkness, but the obedient, those who wait for the Yeshua, shall sing as when a holy solemnity is kept. When is a holy solemnity kept? You have twice a year you have the solemn assembly, which is called a holy day. It's set aside for the sanctifying of the people. After they come through the feast of the unleavened bread in the spring, and they come through the feast of the tabernacles in the fall, they have a solemn assembly. A holy assembly is kept and shall, as it were, play with a pipe instrument for the coming into the mountain kingdom of the Yeshua. This is the kingdom of heaven here on earth. It's the same thing as the kingdom of David. Because in this kingdom is where the ensign sits. And the ensign is made up of the Yeshua and the antiphonal David, his servant. It's this come in the spirit and power of the Elijah, with Elijah's message. Isaiah 30:30. And the Yeshua shall call his glorious voice to be heard, and shall show the lighting down of his arm with the indignation of his anger, and with the flame of a divine fire, with the scattering and tempest and hailstone. For the Yahweh is about to thus manifest his power and vindicate his call, for the days of his silence are almost past. Isaiah 30:31-33. For through the voice of the Yeshua, the Son, shall the Assyrian be beaten down for smoke with a rod. As it didn't say the rod, it said he smokes with a rod. That rod means he smokes with the laws of his government. And in every place where the ground or staff shall pass, which Yeshua shall lay upon him, it shall be with tablets and harps, and in the battles of the shaking will he fight with it. Now here's this word, battles. Okay. Meaning that we got warfare going on. For Topheth is ordained of the old. Yea. For the king it is prepared. For he hath made it deep and large, the power thereof is fire and much wood, the breath of the Yeshua like a stream of the brimstone, brimstone doth kindle it. If the Yahweh's people in the ancient days had believed what the prophets told them, what a difference it would have made. For their mistakes must now become our knowledge, our stepping stones of the escape. Okay, wherefore, own holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Yeshua Messiah, who was faithful unto him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of the entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was a gospel priest, as well as unto them, but the word priest did not profit them, not being mixed with the faith in them that heard it. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today after so long a time as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Hebrews 3:1-2, Hebrews 4:1-7. For our forefathers preferred deceit. We, though, ought to now gladly respond unto the mercy's plea, and thus obtain grace. Okay, that brings the end of number 32, Time of Reading, Volume 1. We go right on into 33. It says, the dispersion, the time, and the deliverance, the spoil of spoils, taken by the lame and the weak, nations see Edom perish. This is the Adventist Church. Edom is the Adventist Church today. This is the Mount of Esau, the firstborn of Isaac and Rebekah. So Edom perishes. Now, Edom is in the land of Moab. Moab is a son of Lot. Ammon is a son of Lot. Moab is a son of Lot. Edom, the headquarters today for the Adventist Church is Mount Edom. And so Mount Edom is in the land of Moab. Okay, so Moab translates today to the United States. So the United States is antitypical land of Moab. It says, and now Moab is a son of Lot. Lot is a nephew to Abraham. And Lot was delivered out of Sodom and Gomorrah because of his faithfulness. And had raised up a couple of sons from his two daughters, because they thought that they were the only people left in the world after the great fire of Sodom and Gomorrah and all the plains was burned up and all the cities round about. And his daughters thought that they had to preserve life in the earth, and the father, they thought, was the only man left living on earth that could raise up that they could raise up seed from. And so they got him drunk and they laid with him, and they became pregnant, and they brought forth a pair of sons. One of them brought forth a son by the name of Moab. Another brought a son by the name of Ammon. Well, Moab had a son by the name of Edom, if I understand right. Maybe I may be wrong, but I believe that's where it is. And Edom today translates into to the Adventist Church as headquarters. And so that would be here in the land of the United States, and the United States then would translate into outside of Texas would be the land of Moab. And keep in mind that Lot was a Hebrew, and he kept the religion of Abraham. He performed his vows at the daily. He is faithful. That's the reason why he was delivered out of Sodom and Gomorrah. But after he was delivered, everything was burned up. But now, again, today we have a Sodom and Gomorrah situation. And we have a land of Moab. And we have a land of the Ammonites. They all live side by side. Okay? So anyway, it says, the dispersion, the time, and the deliverance, the spoil of spoil taken by the lame, and the weak nation sees Edom perish. The desert blossom, and a highway unto Zion. Okay. So let's go ahead and read the prayer thought for this time of reading, Volume 1, Number 33. I have read this before, but I'm going to read the prayer thought and see where we go from there. Every promise in the Word of Yahweh furnishes with the subject matter for prayer, presenting the pledged Word of the Yahweh as our assurance. For every spiritual blessing we need, it is our privilege to claim through the Yahshua. We may tell the Yes, the Yahweh, the Father, we'll put the Father there, with the simplicity of a child, exactly what we need. We may state unto him our temporal matters, asking him for bread and raiment, as well as for the bread of life and the robe of Yahshua's righteousness. Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things, and you are invited to ask him concerning them. It is through the name of Yahshua that every favor is received. Yahweh will honor that name and will supply your necessities from the riches of his liberality. Let us now summarize what we should pray for this afternoon. We need to pray for solid faith and the assurance that regardless what spiritual and temporal blessings we may need, it is our privilege to go to the Yahweh with the simplicity of a child and claim these blessings in the name of Yahshua. We need to pray for help to take Yahweh at his word. Pray for a realization that he means just what he says when he promises to honor the name of Yahshua and to supply our necessities from his immeasurable riches. Now, we have a lot of need. My wife and I have come to a point where we need help, both physically and spiritually and monetarily, financially. We're at this place where we need additional help, and I just read to you where I just read it. It says that just what he says when he promises to honor the name of Yahshua and to supply our necessities from his immeasurable riches. So I am not worried at all about getting our necessities supplied, because Yahweh owns all the gold and silver and the cattle on 1,000 hills. And Yahweh knows how to deliver. He knows how to give you blessings that you need. And he can supply your need, but we have to be faithful and we have to maintain our faith in the promises that he will deliver if you are faithful to keep your covenant with him that you made with him, to worship him and to serve him with all your heart, mind, and soul. And when you do that, then Yahweh will deliver unto you. He will deliver unto you at any time. And he will prevent the crises from coming upon you once you have attained unto perfection of holiness and righteousness in his sight and performing your vows faithfully. He will keep you maintained always. And one of these days, your tests and trials will end. We only have tests and trials because we are weak somewhere in something that we have to be tested and tried on and brought up to his level of acceptance. And so, it's a high level, folks. It's a high watermark to attain unto. But we have to do it. But we can do all things through him in his name who strengthens us. We can do all things through his name. Okay. Now, I've already read the dispersion of the deliverance in an earlier tape. So I'm going to go back to Time and Greetings, Volume 1. And I'm going to go to number 30. We're going on a backward way this time. that's just the way it worked out. And our opening prayer thought for that, number 30, would was taken from the Mount of Blessing, page 188. It says, the first paragraph elucidates on the state of seek and ye shall find, the second on the words knock and it shall be opened unto you. Now, my wife and I are needing to know exactly where we're going to go next when we leave this place. We don't know yet. It's where our faith that takes a hold. He says seek, and then he says knock, and he says it'll be opened up to you. Okay? He says seek, desire not merely his blessing, but himself. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Seek and ye shall find. Elohim is seeking you, and the very desire you feel to come to him is but the drawing of his spirit. Yield to that drawing. Yahshua is pleading the cause of the tempted, the erring, and the faithless. He is seeking to lift them into the companionship with himself. If you will seek him, he will be found of thee. Knock, we come to Yahweh by the special invitation, and he waits to welcome us to his audience chamber. His first disciples who followed Yahshua were not scattered with a hurried conversation with him by the way. They said, Rabbi, where dwellest thou? They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, so we may be admitted into the closer intimacy and communion with Yahweh. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Let those who desire the blessing of Elohim knock and wait at the door of mercy with firm assurance, saying, For thou, O Yahweh, hast said, Everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and unto him that knocketh it shall be opened. Not only that we are invited to see the Yahshua, but we are assured that our seeking shall not be in vain. Our very desire to come unto him and the prompting of his spirit, to this drawing we must yield. Let us now pray for unwavering faith in his promise that if we seek, we shall find. If we knock, it shall be opened unto us. This is very good admonition. It's very encouraging to read about the promises and all what we have to do. And if we're willing to do that, well, then Yahshua is faithful and just to keep his promise, to perform that which he has promised, and that he will give unto us the desires of our heart. Today, we are to continue our study of the book of Isaiah, beginning with the first verse of the fourth chapter, Isaiah 4, verse 1. And in that day, seven women shall take a hold of one man, saying, We will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel, only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. The first thing we need to know is a time indicated by the term in that day. For the antecedent of the word that day is found in verses 13 and 14 of the preceding chapters, of which the fourth chapter is a continuation. These verses point out that that day is a judgment day, the day in which the sanctuary, the church, is cleansed, the harvest day. So point unto the day in which we are now living, to the judgment day, the scripture figuratively reveals that all, for that is what the biblical number 7 indicates, the churches have arrived at the place where by their actions they are in reality saying unto the Yahweh, We want nothing from you but your name. Just let us be called Christians is all we want from you. We want your name because it takes away our reproach. That is, if we be called Christian, then what we do can be blamed on you. You get the credit for it. Accordingly, the world has reached the day when Elohim, in order for the sake of the congregation, is finally compelled to do something as great and as revolutionary as brought about by the first advent of Yahshua. And what could that be? The remaining verse of the chapter gives the answer. Isaiah 4:2. In that day, when seven women take hold of one man, shall the branch of the Yahweh be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. In other words, those that came out of the Adventist church, the remnant, 144,000, they are the escaped of Israel. Okay, so what does that tell us? Sister White is right when she said that we are, the Adventist church is the spiritual Israel of today. This verse shows that the time is now ripe for the glorious revolutionizing of the Seventh-day Adventist congregation and of the world. Let us remember that history repeats, and that a dark, cloudy day is always followed by a bright one. So this great apostasy is to be followed by the chaos, by the glorious revival and reformation, by the glory and prosperity for all the saints who escaped the vengeance of a great Yahweh, the faithful shall reap a harvest of the souls as did the apostles on and after the Pentecost. Behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. Hear that word, raise, and this is the name of our series. Raise him up. And a king shall reign and prosper. And a king. It didn't say the king of Yahshua. It said a king. So Yahshua is not a king. Yahshua is a king of this world. Okay? David, antithetical David, is a king reigning with him in the end of the world. Shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth, the United States. Well, Yahweh impressed me that I just got an article. I just got an article off of the internet. My wife printed it off for me. And it says that the drug industry has triumphed over the DEA. The DEA means the Drug Enforcement Agency of the Congress. They have a drug enforcement agency. And the drug industry has come in and lobbied Congress, and they're from outside, and caused Congress to legislate laws that overthrew the Drug Enforcement Agency, one of their divisions of Congress. And now our Congress is defenseless. And then I read again on the news last night, it says the Drug Administration is out of control in this country. There is no laws now legislated by Congress that prevents them from just destroying this country and just flooding our streets with illegal prescription medication called opiates. And so this article is a very long article. As a matter of fact, I'm going to reproduce it on tape. It's about 14 pages altogether. I'm going to put this on a CD. And I really need to post it for those that can, that needs to hear this information, because this is going on around the world, folks. The Drug Administration has completely taken over our nation. They finally overthrew the United States government. Now Donald Trump is going to have to be sent once again to the rescue of America. And he's in position now to do that. And so Yahweh has raised up a deliverer. No doubt Donald Trump has already said he's going to do something about it in his campaign about this pharmaceuticals and the drugs this country is out of control. He's already got a committee working on it. So anyway, it says in his days, it's talking about in David's days, in the branch days, when the branch Yahshua joins up with his servant David, in his days, that is in the antithetical apostolic era, Judah shall be saved. This Judah is the lawgiver. And that's who we represent, the lawgiver. And Israel shall dwell a Savior, and this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Yeshua, our righteousness. So, in the days of this antithetical David, he's going to be called the Yeshua, our righteousness. Why? It's because Yeshua is with him. And Yeshua named him the Yeshua, our righteousness, and that's the title of his message. The Yeshua, our righteousness. Wherever he goes preaching, he says, I'm preaching Yeshua, that he has come and he is our righteousness. The scriptures bear this out. Yeshua is our righteousness. Jeremiah 23:5-6. If we obey him, he's only our righteousness. If we obey all the sanctuary laws that he's the author of, then he's our righteousness. And that's John 15:10. It says, if you keep my commandments, Yeshua is talking to his disciples. You shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. He said, I had to first and foremost keep my Father's commandments, abide in his love, in order for you to keep my commandments and abide in my love. This is a chain reaction type of thing. Starts with the Father and his commandments. He creates the Son, and then he tells the Son, you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love. And then the Son is authorized to make commandments of the sanctuary, where he's presided over as a high priest. And he says, now you can command righteousness unto you and the sanctuary system. Jeremiah 23:5-6. This very message, therefore, is a message of the righteousness by the faith unto them that believe. Let's do that again. So this very message, therefore, is a message of the righteousness by faith and the blood of the Yeshua that then translates into our righteousness, the righteousness of the saints. In the day that the righteous branch is raised, Judah and Israel shall be saved, and they shall dwell safely. Yes, the day is here when the Elohim's vengeance is to fall upon his adversaries, and the once trodden down kingdoms of the Judah and Israel are to rise unto the prominence and power. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Yeshua, that they shall no more say the Yeshua liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. And yeah, that was the one, Yeshua, was that rock in the cloud above Moses there in the wilderness, and the children of Israel. For the Yeshua liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all countries whither I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. Jeremiah 23:7-8. Plainly, this is the final harvest of the earth, a gathering of the people from all countries. For it is a day in which to sing the song of the Moses and the Lamb. This is to be the second and last Exodus movement. So great will it be that it will entirely eclipse the movement of Moses' day. Do we then realize that we are on the verge of a new day, a great day for the faithful and a dreadful one for the unfaithful? Isaiah 4:3, and it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion, he that remaineth in Jerusalem, shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem. This verse clearly shows that while none of the wicked in the church will survive the purification, yet none of the righteous will perish. Indeed, all that are left will be called holy and will enjoy even greater security than did his ancient people at the time they left Egypt. Behold, Yahshua whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith Yahshua the host. But who may abide the day of his coming? He's talking about the coming of the Son. And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of the silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Yahshua an offering and righteousness, Malachi 3:1-3. Isaiah 4:4-6. When the Yahshua shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment, by the spirit of burning, and the Yahshua will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion, upon her assemblies, a cloud and a smoke by day, and a shine of a flaming fire by night, for upon all the glory shall be a defense. And there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from the storm and from rain. For I say to Yahshua will be unto her as a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory and the midst of her, Zechariah 2:5. So this Mount Zion translates into the house of David, the everlasting kingdom of David. And Yahshua is going to be a wall of fire around this great mountain. This Mount Zion is the 12th hour, Zechariah 2:5. Anyone who knows the Bible can see that all these events are premillennial. So it is that this present apostasy is to bring forth Yahshua's fruitful branches. Oh, no, the fruitful branch. That the wicked who are among Elohim's people are to be taken out of the way, and the faithful. So what was that branch that Brother Johnson had down there in Kermit from 1970 to 2003? That was a sinful branch. Amos chapter 9 talks about it. But the righteous branch is when there is no wicked in it. The sinful branch is mixed with wheat and tares, meaning the good and the bad, or the righteous and the wicked. Those that escape are to be as the servants of the Elohim and reap a harvest of the soul, as such as should be saved, that the day of the vengeance is already at the threshold of the house, that his faithful ones are to be raised unto prominence and power, that the greatness and the glory of the movement is to cause the wonders of the Exodus movement and of the early apostolic congregation to fade into the insignificance. Brother, sister, are you prepared for the abiding of the day of his coming? Will it be unto you a great and glorious day, or will it be a dreadful day? Will you find yourself at his right or at his left? Will it be said unto you, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world? Inherit this kingdom. This is the kingdom, everlasting kingdom of heaven here, which is this kingdom set up here, called the same thing as the everlasting kingdom of David. Let's read that again. Or will it be a great dreadful day? Will you find yourself at his right or at his left? Will it be said unto you, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world? Or will it be said unto you, depart from me, ye cursed, in the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels? Will your garments pass his inspection? Or will you find yourself cast into outer darkness, there to gnash your teeth? These are solemn questions that each of us must now answer unto himself. If we do not answer them now, then we will have to answer by the standing speeches before an angry Yahweh. May every one of us be able in that day to say, lo, this is our Elohim. We have waited for Now, this is our Savior, Yeshua. We have waited for Him, and He will save us. This is the Yeshua. We have waited for Him. We will be glad and rejoice in His salvation. Isaiah 25:9. Well, this is the end of A Time of Reading, Volume 1, Number 30. It does have a poem here, Depth of Mercy. Depth of mercy can there be, a mercy still reserved for me? Can my Yah His wrath forbear, me the chief of sinners spare? I have long withstood His grace, long provoked Him to His face, would not hearken to His calls, grieved Him by a thousand falls. Therefore me the Savior stands, shows His wounds and spreads His hand. Yah is love, I know, I feel. Yeshua weeps and loves me still. Okay, this brings us in. Let's get this hour contact at the 11th hour call. And it's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We are now going to close with a song. The Lord Yah is greater far than tongue repents and ever tell. The love of Yah is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star that reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair knelt on with care. Yah gave His Son to bear. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Oh, love of Yah, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. When holy time shall pass away, and earthly throne and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray on a rocks and hills and mountains tall. Yah's love so sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong. A redeeming grace to Adam's array, the saints and angels' song. The love of Yah, rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song. We with Thee the ocean fell, and were the skies of parchment made, where every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scrap a tray, to write the love of Yah above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, nor stretch from sky to sky. A love of Yah rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall
forevermore, God.